All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Glad to be here with you all again today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you've bestowed upon us. Lord, Lord, just help us to avail all that you have for us, Lord. Again, we just thank you. Lord, we ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you would give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Lord, again, thank you for all that you do. Again, we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 13. Verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's, just want to kind of go along here, that Jesus, before the end, was... It's the Last Supper that he was sharing with the brethren. He came into the world, and having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's a blessing that we can find that he loved them to the end. I was just remember one time, I don't know, I was some foreign country somewhere and kind of discouraged just remember just being alone and just wondering, you know, just really wondering about things and a verse similar to this, wasn't exactly this one, that he loved them to the end. And whenever I thought about that, it wasn't just for that time that he loved us, that he's looking out for us. It's until the end. We haven't come to that end yet. And what I found encouragement was he's still there. He still loves us to the end. It doesn't matter what we're going through, or it don't matter at all about anything. He is still who he always was, and he's still here, he's still alive, he's still well, and still in control of everything. He loved us to the end, to the end of all things. His love never stops and never endures. And I just remember finding so much comfort and rest in that, like I said, I'd just been traveling and was in some foreign place and just completely alone and just felt, I don't know, maybe something else had gone wrong. But I just found such comfort in that he had loved them till the end. And this is this time here, this very difficult time for Jesus. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. And here he's with his disciples, and one of these disciples was going to betray him, and he knew it. And it tells that he knew who it was, and he even gave them a hint to who it was, the one that would dip the bread after him, and it would be him. And this verse that one of the boys gave today about how that he had sold himself, and that instead of, you know, the Bible tells about Jesus that he was sold for 30 pieces of silver, and the reality of that he didn't sell Jesus. It didn't affect him at all. It didn't change him. Someone had to do it, he said. Someone would do it, but it didn't affect him. But the man sold himself. And I just think about that today, that how opposite things are, the reality of things and how they really are. You know, we hear people, we used to hear people talk about freedom, and they would use the idea of freedom so that they could do whatever they wanted to do. And most of the times, the freedom they were seeking was something that was bringing them into bondage. And they were using the cry of freedom just to sell themselves into bondage. And that's how Satan works. I mean, he offers us things that sound free, that sound liberating, but in reality, it's selling ourselves into bondage that we don't even really know. I mean, the world today just lives in misery. And many of them got there because they sold themselves, or someone did. You know, we talked about the man that built the bridge, one of the boys that stopped after he had already made it and then built a bridge for the one coming behind him. And so a lot of times people, whenever we sell ourselves into slavery, bondage, whatever it is that the devil offers that we sell ourselves to him for, we're building a bridge for someone else, for good or bad. You know, we're all building a bridge. We're all plotting a path, and we're either making it easier for someone to come along to have the opportunity for freedom and liberty, or we're selling them into slavery. You know, it doesn't, you know, we don't even have to talk about the generational, you know, whether it's in the genes or something. Whenever we're bound, we are giving that to our children. That's what we're passing on to them, goodness or bad, evil or good. I mean, we're setting a path for them that are following behind us, for good or evil. And so be careful how we build, because what we pass on to them is, you know, that's what they're going to get. And it is so, so difficult to break that path. You know, I just look at things today. One of the things that I hate most is just wasted opportunities. And I just, you know, the people in this world, in this country, have just had so many things handed to them. And then they take that and sell themselves into slavery, sell themselves into bondage after someone's given them just the great opportunities of just freedom and being right. I just see how this world around us, this country, we look at things and how they've changed, and how things that are happening today that we would have never dreamed are happening. And this is how we get there. Whenever someone doesn't build the bridge, build on what they've been given, but turn it into slavery, and then hand that slavery to their children, and that then they turn and hand a deeper slavery to their family and their children, and it just passes on through generation. During supper, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, you know, that's what we forget, that there is someone behind all of this. You know, when we see things today and we hear things, that how can people even believe that? You know, they're talking about men having babies even. And it's just, there's people that believe it. And that's just an extreme example. But that's just one of them. I mean, children are confused. They don't know who they are. They don't know whether they're a boy or a girl. There's just all kinds of things going on today that just, you think, how can this be? And we see it on a level sometimes of, well, that just doesn't make sense. And the reason it doesn't is because we don't believe there's a devil. And we don't believe there's a God. The devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the devil having put this into your heart. You know, we're not just selling ourselves to be in bondage to something. We're selling ourselves to be in bondage to someone. And that's what Adam and Eve, that's what happened in the garden, that Adam and Eve sold themselves to Satan and his bondage. And, you know, we just look at it as he just disobeyed God. But that's much more happened than that. Not only did they disobey God, they sold themselves into bondage, into slavery. And that's the battle we're fighting today. And that's the one we don't really recognize. But we see these people that are so messed up, and so the thought is so, you know, seemingly crazy to us. And, you know, I just step back and sometimes and I look and the devil, just see him, you know, he just tries to make things as crazy as he can and tries to sell us on things like that. And the problem is it works. It works. It's because he has such power in this world if we give it to him. And it is all a matter of us giving ourselves and our souls to him. Us yielding ourselves to his power. You used to hear about people that, you know, it's just kind of a crazy story that someone would make a deal with the devil, that they'd sign some paper and sell their soul to the devil so they could have some success or have something in life. And it's just kind of mocked. But the thing about it is that kind of that transaction happens every second of the day. You know, you don't have to sign any paper to sell your soul to Satan. All you got to do is just listen to him. All you got to do is give in to him. And all you have to do is give up the freedom that Christ bought for us. It's all you have to do is just give that freedom up. Freedom is something. You know, we hear about the idea of, you know, patriots talking about freedom. You know, and that's a certain element of freedom. But it is nothing compared to the real idea of freedom that Christ bought for us whenever he died and rose again. You know, it's one thing to have a Passover and just die. And people, but the whole idea of it, they were set free. And the reason is because of the resurrection and because he rose again that we have that freedom. And that freedom is what people, you know, in the earthly sense, people are willing to die for. And that kind of attitude is what we need with this spiritual freedom, that it's worth dying for. Dying to ourselves, paying the ultimate price of who we are for that freedom that Christ has provided for us. Judas sold that. And the devil, having put it into his heart, caused him to do the unthinkable, to sell his master, to sell Christ back to, you know, to sell his own soul back to the devil. That's just what a waste. I think in eternity, one of the most biggest regrets, the thing that people will lament for eternity is the waste, how we wasted our lives on something that wasn't Christ and the freedom that he provides for us. During supper, the devil, having already put to the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. you know, like I said, we look at the things that are happening today, and we see what's going on in the world, and you know, we get used to it, we get accustomed to it. I think that's what happened with Lot in Sodom. I mean, he seeing and hearing all the things that they're doing, it just becomes normal, you know, and it hurt him. It said it hurt his soul, and I don't know whether it was hurt in a way that he realized that or not, or felt it, but it was damaging his soul. It was corrupting it. This is the world we live in. I mean, we think of Sodom and Gomorrah and the story and how awful that was there. We live right in the middle of the whole same thing. It's all around us. And the only hope that they have is if we can maintain the freedom for ourselves to possess the light that might shine for them. That's, you know, that's one thing kind of that we need to, this what we've been given, the freedom, the opportunity, the pathway that's been laid out, the bridge that's been built before us. Can you imagine, you know, this old man that he talked about in the poem, standing there after he gave his whole life and crossed the bridge, water himself, and then he builds a bridge when he could have been resting. And then the young man coming along behind him gets halfway across the bridge and just, forget it. I don't even want to go back. I don't even want to go over there. And that's where Jesus is at when he watches us in our lives. And he sees how backwards things have gone from the opportunities that we've been given, we've been handed. And we look at it and we see what happened, what's happening on a national scale and a worldly scale. But the reason that's able to happen is because somebody is not crossing the bridge. Somebody's not making it over. Somebody's not appreciating what they've been given. We can't be the same. We're the only hope the world has. And if we are those who would maybe just not cross over, maybe not bear our cross, maybe not just continue on with what we've been given, we're the very first step in what is going on in the world a few steps removed right now. We're the, you know, we're doing the same thing. We're just not as far down the road as they are. Because it's that step that you're not taking, and then the next step, somebody sold their freedom and became in bondage, and a little more bondage, and a little more bondage, until we're at the depths of the atrocities, the sinfulness, the darkness that's going on in this world, to where men sell themselves openly to Satan. They don't care. There's no care for God in the world at all. I mean, we just, you know, people talk about blessing. God bless America. Well, God would love to bless this country again, this world. But he's not going to in the condition it's in and in the state it's in. He is not going to. He's provided a way for freedom, freed from bondage, freedom from Satan. But when people sell themselves, you know, we talk about how things get the way they are. They get there because God puts a curse on things. You know, sometimes we think that God's going to just destroy everything and that's his curse. Well, that's not his curse. His curse, whenever we go so far, he just turns his back and says, I'm giving you over to Satan. There's nothing more I can do. And that's where, as a whole, that's where we get. And only for the hope of a few people with a little bit of light, will even preserve what's left. There's a great task that's fallen upon us, and that is to keep ourselves free. That's our only hope. That's the only hope for us in the world. Jesus came into this world for that purpose, to set us free, that bondage. And during supper, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. You know, the reason people can be so confused and so sold to sin, so sold to slavery, is because they're under the control of Satan. The devil has entered their hearts. The devil has taken control and power over them. You know, we forget that. But a person that's holy is because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. The person that's evil is evil because he's filled with the evil spirit. We're not just a bunch of neutral men able just to take care and stand on our own two feet. That's not the way we're created. We were created to be controlled or live under somebody's power. And God has given us that opportunity to be under a benevolent, wonderful Lord that would that we would be free. But Satan's come along and usurped that power, and taken mankind and brought him into the humiliating bondage, the humiliating fall, the humiliating debacle of what people are going through and doing today, thinking that they're really powerful, that they're really strong, that they're really free. And Satan is mocking them. And it all starts with us just not being free ourselves. The bondages that we leave on ourselves, we pass on to our children, and they pass on a few more, and a few more, and a few more, till we completely forget God. You know, one of the most saddest things in the world to me is to drive around on a Sunday morning and go by a ball field, and you can't even get another car in there. And all these young boys and girls out there playing sports instead of being at church, they're out there just playing a game every Sunday, packing, driving, spending a long time to get there, and then sit there and spend all day playing a game and forgetting about God. I mean, we're not big on just keeping a Sunday, but there was good in it. I mean, at least people would take a little time for God during the week. And it there is good in it. No matter what, you know, no matter how people have turned it into something bad or maybe turned it into something wrong, there is good in just going to church. You know, I used to kind of think, you know, we saw the state of the churches and used to, on advertisements or something, people would say, go to church somewhere. You know, I just kind of thought, well, why? You know, because some of the state of the churches. But I look back now and I think, you know, what a blessed time that was in the world whenever someone just went to church somewhere. There was at least a time where there was some thought of another creator or of a creator. There was some thought of Jesus and what he had done. People heard about it. They're not hearing about it on the ball fields anymore. They just, the decline. And then their generation will come up and won't even know whether they're a boy or a girl, so confused, so angry when anybody even offends them. It all comes. I mean, just the gradual decline. It all gets there. The devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, We have an enemy of our souls. And he is desperately trying some way, some little thing that you love, some little thing that you want, some little thing you just won't give up. And we think we're choosing rightly and giving, seeking that thing. But what it's doing is getting a hold of us. What it's doing is, just like Judas Iscariot, it's selling Jesus for that little thing. You know, we used to hear people talk about revival. I just thought of the song, "It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need." I just, you know, we can look at the world and all the things that's going on, but it's not them that's the problem, it's me. You know, we can look at all the problems everyone else has, but it's me. And that's the only thing that we can look at. And that's where it really starts, and that's where being revived starts again. Verse 3, it says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that the Father had given all things into his hands. What a burden he carried. What a blessing he carried. Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God. You know, if we could just remember that little thing, that we came forth from God and we're going back to God. You know, this time here, it's so easy just to forget about God in this world, but we're going right back to him. It's where we came from, and that's where we're going right back. Now, people, like it or not, you know, the world hates that thought, the world hates that idea. But they're all going right back to God too. And they can make plans all they want to avoid that situation. But they came from God and they're all going right back to him. We're all going right back to him. And we're going to face the path that we lived, the choices that we made. And it says, and he had come forth from God and was going back to God. And it says, he got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. This, after he had eaten, him, the one who brought, came from God and was going back to God, and was, all things were given into his hand, he got up. And he put a towel around himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. This washing feet, the feet washing, you know, it's something that's not very well thought of. Even in church circles, there isn't probably 1 in 10 that even thinks about doing it. It's humbling, humiliating sometimes to some. I mean, I guess that's the thought. But Jesus put a towel around him, poured out some water, and began to wash his disciples' feet. He began to do the lowest job on the totem pole. But he did it. You know, and he didn't do it all proud, glad that he could, proud to be the, act like the humble guy. He just picked up the towel and wrapped it around himself, poured the water out, and just began to wash his disciples' feet. I think there's a lot to learn with this practice. It's been a blessing. I think there's a lot for us to learn just about keeping ourselves where we're supposed to be, humbling ourselves. And he came to Simon Peter, and he said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter." Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." That's just pretty plain, isn't it? If you don't let me do this, you have no part with me. You know, we think of the one washing feet as the one humbling himself, but it's pretty humbling when someone else does something for us. Someone else humbles themselves to wash our feet. And when you put anything else in there, you know, helping people. You know, we all want to help someone, but it's kind of hard for us to be helped. To realize that we're in the place that we need to be helped. You know, that's humbling. And oftentimes we say, no, you're not going to help me. Well, Peter had that attitude. You're not going to help me. And Jesus said, if you don't let me do this for you, you don't have a part of me. And we've got a, the whole key of this is humility here. Whether we're on the doing end of it or the receiving end of it. What he's trying to teach us here is don't be so proud of yourself. Because pride, you know what that is? That's bondage. Same as all that other stuff. And all we have to do is be in bondage, and then we get led on further and further and further. Peter said to him, "Never shall you wash my feet. If I do not wash you, you'll have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, then wash not only my feet, but also my hands and my head." He kind of got the picture. I want to be a part of you. Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you." And then he goes on and talks about some more about being betrayed, Simon. I think one of the things, you know, he who has bathed, and I think that's referring to the baptism of the regeneration, of the renewal, the following Jesus. And I think, you know, as we live and travel through this life, we're walking through this life, our feet get dirty. And sometimes we just need, that's what he's talking about here, our feet. We get proud sometimes, even being regenerated, being baptized, being a disciple. And we forget that we still need our feet washed once in a while. As we walk through this life, that our feet get dirty again. And I think that's one of the things, one of the reasons, instead of just going to be baptized again, just we need our feet washed once in a while. That's the part that touches the earth. And that kind of brings us back to, you know, when we died in baptism, when we die, symbolic of being dead to the world, we sometimes need to die in our pride, be humbled, and just get our feet washed once in a while. And it's, you know, it's a blessing to do this symbolically, but the real thing is the humility of remembering who we are. And as we work with each other, and as we walk through this world and are a light to this world, that there's no room for pride in it. We're no better than anybody else. We're just, selling our freedom, they're just a few steps ahead of us. And if we're maintaining our freedom and walking with Jesus free, then we're just the devil suggesting something away from us following back into that slavery. One of his own disciples was chosen, and chose to yield. May the Lord add his blessings. As we keep ourselves. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Just want to say that I appreciate that picture of building a bridge that seems like that we're all building a bridge somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy thing to get off track and go in the wrong direction.
Amen.
Appreciate that.
Praise the Lord. All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening. God bless you all. Depart in peace.